It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a Raider invasion of Southern California. I repeat, this is a Raider invasion of Southern California. So we get the Chargers coming off a 5-12 year. I repeat, because the last time we played them, we put 63 on their ass. 63 on their ass. Do you know anybody on God's green earth? Do you know anybody who said, I'm going to the window and bet the Chargers to win the Super Bowl? I don't. I know a lot of people. If you combined all the Charger fans in Southern California, you can fit them in my pool.
JT the Brick.
You hear this crap? They're saying, oh, the Raiders have this. They don't have anything. But the Chargers do. And it's the same jerks who say, I love the Chargers roster. Every year. You idiot. You know nothing about the Raiders. The Chargers, America's new bandwagon, had 5 wins last year. Lost Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams. I'm fighting off the Charger fans who think they're going to the Super Bowl.
And now,
63 on their ass.
Here's JT the Brick.
It is a Modelo Friday. Say it with me. You know I have a bucket of Modelos every Friday. Went to the Stray Cats last night. Saw Brian Ketzer. I bought a Modelo Tall Boy. You know, the big tall boys, man. That was a good one last night. Rocking out to the Stray Cats, Slim Jim, Brian Setzer. The band sounded amazing. They're staying at our team hotel, man, so cool. Brian Setzer's from my hometown of Massapequa, so saw some live music out on the water. Full day of practice today with our teammates from Compass Media. You know I do the game broadcast, pre- and post-game show, and our whole team is out here getting to see the team as we're going to be heading out to Minneapolis for the first broadcast. I'll be on the play-by-play with the great Eric Allen and Lincoln Kennedy. Jason Horowitz, just for the preseason, will go to TV, and then he'll return to radio. So I got some work to do, man. I got to get to know this roster because the good news is I think some starters are going to play in the preseason, which I hope is a better thing. I hope it's better that they're able to do that. I'm good with that. But there's still a lot of guys trying to make this team. Dylan Lauby spoke to the media. We'll get to that a little bit later on. And I got to catch up here because today we are counting down the all-time greatest Raider games of all time. And we are in the top three. And the announcement is coming in, and everybody wants to know what I had at number three. And it was really tough because in the top five, at number five, we had Red Wright 88. At number four, we had the 1967 11 Angry Men. We had that great team that won the AFL championship and went to Super Bowl II. And coming in at number three, and we'll get to that, but I want to tease it, is Super Bowl 15. We had to choose between Super Bowl 11, Super Bowl 15, and Super Bowl 18. So with my award-winning panel, who drink Modelo's with me, who helped me out along the way, this is not the Raiders' decision, it's mine. We are going with Super Bowl 15. That's the Jim Plunkett wild card team as the third, not greatest game, as we talked about. This is the greatest games of all time. We have this as number three. You're either going to agree or disagree. Maybe you like Super Bowl 18 or Super Bowl 11 in this, but we're going with that. That's coming up a little bit later on in the show. Let me catch up on the calls. You can get through and be live at training camp at 702-365-9200. Raider Nation Drinking Club, Thor, is out in Summerlin. Thor, good to hear from you on a gorgeous Friday, Modelo Friday. How are you?
JT, how are you doing, my brother? I know you're about an hour away from a bucket of Modelo's. I'm about 2 hours away from some Modelo's and some poker, and it's Friday, baby. Happy Friday to everyone out there. Football is back, JT. I mean, honestly, don't really care about the Chicago Bears or the Houston Texans. It would have been nice to see Caleb Williams out there a little bit, at least one or two drives, which I know how it is nowadays. Anyway, the new kickoff thing, man, that was absolutely horrible, my brother. We're so excited. And you know what made it worse is Devin Hester getting into the Hall of Fame. And then you got to watch this atrocious. Don't even kick the ball off. Just give teams the ball. Flip a coin. Give it to them at the 25 or the 30. Call heads or tails. I don't know, because that was, what are we doing here, man? This seemed like I was watching third-rate high school football game or something. Obviously, I'm really excited that football is back, but the kickoff rules and the new rules, you can't onside kick, unless it's the fourth quarter and you're behind, and you got to tell the Like, huh? Do we have to tell the other team if we're going to go play action? This doesn't make sense, man. I just don't like the rule changes there. I just feel I'm getting closer to flag football or something. So, but otherwise, I'm excited football is back. I'm excited for this Raider team to get out there next Saturday. Mm-hmm. I'll be barbecuing at the house next Saturday, JT. I know you probably got to be on the radio somewhere, but, you know, we'll be cold yep. ones over here watching the game. So, you know, you're always invited here, my brother.
And thank you, my friend.
Raiders football season is here. Let's go. I'm excited.
All right. Thanks, Thor. Appreciate it. And I'll be calling the game on radio, so I won't be in Thor's backyard. I'll be in Minneapolis. And I'm looking forward to going there in the summertime. I have no problem going to Minneapolis in the summertime. The wintertime, I don't agree. The kickoffs, when I get up this morning in the hotel, Pat McAfee's show was on, and they were debating the kickoff and what happened last night. It's tough. It's going to be really tough to get used to. But as I've been here at Raiders camp, it's kind of cool to watch what they're trying to do. And I think the Raiders are going to have an advantage with A.J. Cole if he takes some of the kickoffs with drop kicks. That means the ball touches the ground as he's just about to kick it, touches the ground first, and it's kind of this hard, aggressive squib kick that could be tough to field. And Daniel Carlson, as Tom Telesco told us, the high kick, you're not going to see the high kickoffs anymore. You're going to see the line drive kick that hits the ground, and then chaos can ensue because the coverage team cannot leave. They can't move until the ball lands in the drop zone or the receiver catches it in the drop zone. So there's a lot of guys jumping off sides. If you're trying to cover a kick and the ball's coming up over your head, your instinct is going to be you want to go down there and run and make a tackle. You can't. You can't do it until you get the, you know, you get the, I don't know what they're going to do, have a coach on the sideline with a whistle. Someone's going to yell it. And there's going to be so many offsides plays and penalties overall. I don't know how great it's going to work, but they're trying to cut down on injuries. And as I talked to the legendary punt and kickoff return man, mostly punts, George Atkinson, this morning, we both agreed there could be more injuries because there's going to be more returns. So with more returns, there could be more injuries. The coverage team is definitely not going to have as much time to run 50 yards down the field and take someone's head off. It's going to be like a play in a phone booth. If you can make someone miss real quick, then you can have an opportunity for a big play. 702-365-9200 as we continue on. Ross in Huntington Beach, my good golf buddy, my drinking buddy, another guy diehard in the Raider Nation who I saw at camp here. Ross, good to talk to you, my friend. How are you?
What's happening, JT? I'm living the dream. How about you?
Couldn't be better, my friend. It's great out here. You know it. You've been here. Nice to see a limited amount of fans. Limited amount of fans, but a lot of fans in Raider Nation know we're out here.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to your promo about the scarcity of Charger fans, probably more likely to catch Bigfoot right in the Loch Ness Monster than a group of Charger fans together. And it couldn't be more evident than, like, I'm getting sign-ups for my golf tournament, September 7th in Huntington Beach. We got Raiders versus Chargers. So I've got legendary Hank Bauer. I've got Charlie Joyner coming out, Wes Chandler, you know, a bunch of the great Chargers. And I can't find any Charger golfers to play with them.
Wait a second. You are live on Raider Nation Radio. So you're putting together a Raiders-Chargers golf tournament. I was at your Raiders-Steelers. You get good turnouts there. So you're telling me we need Charger fans to come in. Why not more Raider fans just buying groups along the way? We'll just fill up some. I know Hank Bauer very well. If Hank has to play with a Raider fan, he'll do it.
Oh, yeah. No, Hank's down with us. He's come to many of our tournaments. But, you know, we're trying to have, like, you know,
yeah,
to get them kind of deal. And we're almost sold out, fully full of Raider fans. We've got plenty of Raider fans. More are welcome, obviously. But, I mean, I'm just trying to put together a squad of Charger fans to stand up. And it's like, you know, rubbing two together like nickels and, you know.
Yeah, I gotcha. Hey, give me something from the training camp that you liked about the team before you go. What you think this team has something to build on. What'd you see?
Well, I really love the intensity. Everyone's getting after it, rushing to the ball. Receivers are high pointing for it. And really like the way Lobby's moving, man. He's smooth, quick cuts, good transitions. A lot to be excited about. I also noticed Aiden O'Connell had much better zip on his ball and trajectory than the other guys. The other guys were mostly kind of floating these rainbows, but AOC's, you know, hucking it on point.
Sounds good, buddy. Good to hear from you. Appreciate Ross checking in from Huntington Beach. Diehard Raider fan checking in here on the flagship of the Silver and Black. He's got a really good idea, and it's been working out a while, to put Raider golf tournaments around all these matchups and games, and I'm here to support him any way I can. 702-365-9200, as you can tell, they're cutting the grass right in front of us. So you might hear a lawnmower from time to time when I do my show from home, and my landscapers come unexpected. I remind them, hey, I'm doing a radio show. I can't have the blower going. I can deal with the lawnmower. Right? Like, listen right now. Here's the lawnmower. Well, we got the lawnmower going on, but we don't have the blower. And as I said, someday Elon Musk, who is inventing some of the coolest cars and rockets and the Boring Company, drilling underground in Vegas, which if you haven't seen it, it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. One day Elon Musk is going to invent a silent leaf blower. And that's when he's going to become a trillionaire, not a multi-billionaire. All right, I'm going to get into this game coming up here, the Super Bowl game. But Bobby says we have Dylan Lauby sound, which he has queued up. And this is kind of now the new Hunter Renfro, in my opinion. He plays a different position. He's a running back. But remember, when Hunter Renfro came here, the Raiders utilized him early in his career in the slot, the ability to make quick plays, very quick plays that's turned into field position wins. Maybe this guy, Dylan Lauby, will be the next player to do it. Here's him at the podium.
All right, guys, start with questions for Dylan.
Dylan, Antonio Pierce said, you know, you watched Dylan on film at New Hampshire, but and looks good, but you kind of have to wonder, all right, will that translate to the NFL? Did you have any of those thoughts as well? I know I saw you at the Senior Bowl. That was probably a big step for you, but were there any thoughts like, okay, that's one level, this is a whole other level?
I'd say definitely at the Senior Bowl and the Combine definitely prepared me for this. But at the same time, like when you step on this field, man, you don't really know what to truly expect. And that first day of camp was kind of my first kind of step and be like, okay, like I truly belong here. And it's been all business since. So, yeah, it's been fun.
What is it about? What did you see or feel that said, okay, you know what, this is doable?
Yeah, I think me having friends that were in the NFL and kind of being prepared about the speed of the game and kind of just like learning the playbook and the concepts and just knowing, hey, I have to be on top of all my things is super important. It kind of helped me prepare to have that one step where if I wasn't prepared, it would have been like super, super fast for me and it would have been super crazy. So, yeah.
Dylan, you've been able to add several things, not just special teams now to your resume because you're succeeding at it. Did you expect this quickly to be, you know, part of such a broad part of the Raiders attack?
In a sense, I always believed in myself. But at the same time, man, I'm just taking it one step at a time. I'm just trying to take in all my reps and just kind of learn from everyone too, from all the vets and all the guys that kind of just are just showing me everything. It's been a super cool experience so far.
You know, everyone's trying to learn this new kickoff rule. How much do you feel like it suits what you do really well?
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's so fun. It's it reminds me of a kind of like a run play, almost like a gap scheme in a sense, but of course you have a lot more space. And especially as a returner, if you have more space, you have more time. So I think it's gonna definitely benefit the returners, but at the same time, it's still a super hard play, and it's going to be a very difficult concept at first. But I think as the time goes on, it's going to be fine.
There was a moment on one return where you know you kind of took it up field, and you know Tom McMahon came on the field, and he was really gassed up.
He's fired
up. Juice. You know, how does that feel? You know, even as a rookie, to see him do that, and how has he helped you in your progression so far?
Yeah, he's definitely been one of the coaches so far that has helped me a bunch. He's definitely the man. I love Coach Tom, but at the same time, he kind of preaches to stay vertical and just be super fast. So I kind of just took that with a grain of salt and just went with it.
Dylan, you mentioned knowledge being creating confidence and then adding to your speed, being able to play at a higher speed because you know what you're doing.
Sure.
But we've seen you line up a wide receiver, running back in the slot everywhere. So how do you, at night and all, just kind of be able to focus on everything that they're asking you to do and have that knowledge?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just keep on studying. We have a a bunch of plays definitely as a rookie too. I have to know every single thing possible, especially me coming in. I'm way behind everyone, so I have to make sure I'm super prepared. And that just starts with me just studying the playbook and just staying on top of everything.
It's, you know, obvious now that your name has come up a lot in this first week of camp. Is that, do you listen to any of that? Do you intentionally block it out? How do you take in that information?
At the same time, I would say my parents definitely send me a couple things. But at the same time, man, it's practice, and really practice. The main goal is to get better every single day. And so at the same time, it's not a big deal. I think at the same time, like, me getting better every single day is super important.
Even going back to OTAs, seeing you wear the number 23, kind of similar build to CMC, and doing good with the route running out of the backfield. Is that a guy like you studied and try to take things from his game at all, or is just a coincidence that you're 23?
When I got a chance to pick the number, actually the first thing I thought of was MJ. And then when I got the number, I then took a second. I was like, wait, that's CMC's number too. So at the same time, it's definitely a guy that I've been looking up to a bunch since growing up, man. He's been the man. He's been a guy that I've been like, oh my God, like, he's the best of the best. So it's definitely a guy that I definitely watch a bunch.
What are you thinking from the other running backs in the room?
Oh yeah, I mean, from Amir, Zeus, Alex, I mean, from all the backs, man, they've, you got guys that have been in the league for such a long time that are such a great group of guys. It's just a fun group. They've shown me so much with Amir out wide, being a scat back, being a guy that has been on a bunch of teams, man. He's definitely been a guy that I've looked up to a bunch. He's shown me a lot.
What have you seen in this blocking scheme as far as how it fits you as a running back?
Especially as a running back, man, it's cool having a really good line. And it's been kind of crazy just seeing how our line has been able to block that defensive line, because, I mean, hey, listen, I think we have the best defense in the league, and it shows, which our O-line has been blocking like crazy, and it's been super cool.
Your skill set was known, obviously. It's why you got drafted. But coming from New Hampshire, the level of competition, people were wondering about toughness.
Yeah.
You answered that. Was toughness something maybe a little underrated with you?
Definitely. I kind of have always had that chip on my shoulder, in a sense, coming from a small school. It's been super important for me to have that toughness. And I think I've shown it so far.
So two more guys.
How much are you pushing to be the guy on kickoff returns? In the past, nobody really even wanted that job necessarily. You're just watching the ball go over your head for the most part. But now people seem to want it. So are you lobbying for it? Are you pushing for it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I definitely want that job. But at the same time, anywhere they put me on the field, man, I'm happy with that.
How much do you think your pass catching out of the backfield could help you see the field? How much is that a strength in your game?
Yeah, I think that's kind of my best quality as a player, because I think I'm more of a receiving back. I think I can still run the ball, but in a sense, me getting a matchup with a backer is super important, and I think I can win every single time.
That was really good. That's Dylan Lauby, who just met the media a little while ago, and I think he's an important player here because he could be another player that the Raiders have that no one really in the national media knows who he is, right? You're not going to hear people on the national shows talk about him. You're not going to hear someone say, you know, Colin Coward or someone who rips the Raiders every day. You're not going to hear them say, oh, wow, they got Dylan Lauby. You know, you're not going to hear anybody say that, but Raider fans know that he could be a really good player. So with all of this happening, these are the type of players that have to pop at a very high level quickly. That would be Brock Bowers, Dylan Lauby, Jacorian Bennett, who's coming into his second year and didn't play a whole lot last year after he started. The younger players, I can't forget DJ Glaze. DJ Glaze is going to have to jump in and play really well if he's called to play early. If those guys play well, I think the Raiders are going to be all right. But the Raiders clearly have an injury bug on the offensive line, or guys recovering from injuries that we're waiting for. So the depth on the offensive line, and I wouldn't say lackluster, so don't take me out of context here, but I would say the average play at quarterback in camp, it hasn't been above average, I'll tell you that. It's been good. It's been good at times, but it hasn't been elite. That's something that's going to have to pick up. All right, without further ado, let's get going. This is our summer series. It's the summer. It's August. It's really hot where I am in this tent. So we knew we needed some programming, and we're really proud of what we've been able to do. We're down to number three. The three greatest games are only the ones that are left of the greatest Raider games of all time.
We now present the Raiders' top 10 games of all time.
And the Raiders have won the Super Bowl championship. They are the world champs.
The history of the Raiders.
Fires for Bolitnikoff. He is going to get inside the five. Touchdown!
The games that helped make the Raiders one of the most recognized franchises in NFL history.
Just win, baby.
The Raiders' top 10 games of all time begins now. Number three.
Well, here we go, and as we talked about, all the greatest games of all time, the majority of them were played in December or January, and it's the same here, January 25th, 1981, the Oakland Raiders 27 and the Philadelphia Eagles 10, as the Raiders come through and the Raiders win Super Bowl 15 to become the first wild card team to capture a world championship. The 1980 Oakland Raiders entered Super Bowl 15 against the AFC champion Philadelphia Eagles as the ultimate underdogs. Not only were the Raiders the first wild card team to advance to the Super Bowl since the NFL adopted the new playoff format in 1978, but the Eagles had already defeated the Silver and Black 10-7 just 8 weeks earlier. This matchup would be markedly different, as a team that started the season with just a 2-3 record would claim the club's second championship with a dominating 27-10 victory. The Raiders wasted no time establishing themselves in New Orleans as Rod Martin picked off Ron Jaworski a pass on the game's third play and returned it 25 yards to set up a Jim Plunkett touchdown to the Great Lake Cliff Branch. Later in the first quarter, Plunkett hit Kenny King for an 80-yard touchdown strike that then set a Super Bowl record and gave the Silver and Black a 14-0 lead. Head coach Tom Flores, now a Hall of Famer, employing a philosophy of pressure football, kept the offense firing away in the second half. Plunkett engineered a third-quarter drive that culminated in a 29-yard touchdown pass to Branch that gave the Raiders an insurmountable 21-3 lead. Chris Barr added two field goals in the second half, and the defense, led by Super Bowl record three interceptions by the great Rod Martin, surrendered only a fourth-quarter touchdown. Plunkett was tabbed the MVP honors after completing 13 of 21 passes for 261 yards, three touchdowns, as the Silver and Black became the first wild-card team in NFL history to win the Super Bowl. I repeat, the Raiders are the first team ever to be a wild-card Super Bowl champion, as we take a look at the sound bites and the highlights of the game. It was Rod Martin early in this one in the first quarter with the interception against Jaws.
Tight end Krepke is on the right side for the Eagles. They're going from our right to our left, and Doris is going to put it up. He sets up and drills it, and it is intercepted at the 45-yard line. Back with the ball is Rod Martin, and Oakland hands the ball on the first throw of the day, and Martin wasn't tackled until he got down to the 31-yard line of Philadelphia.
Wow, you can actually have a debate. Why wasn't Rod Martin the co-MVP of this game? Rod, who we get a chance to see as he moved to Vegas all the time, was the greatest linebacker performance in Super Bowl history, and that's a big deal because they played 58 of them, and no one had a game like Rod Martin's three interceptions. The late, great Cliff Branch on the receiving end of this great touchdown by Jim Plunkett.
Third and goal from the two. He takes the ball. He's back to throw. Looks into the end zone. He rushes, stops, throws, touchdown. Oakland with a touchdown. Cliff Branch, he set it up at the 5-yard line, caught it in the end zone, and Plunkett was really in command as he checked the Philadelphia defense.
Yes, he had good pass protection. He hung in there tough. Just watched very carefully to see who was open. Branch hit the open area, got the ball to him perfectly. Touchdown, Oakland, and they go ahead 6-0.
SBS radio on these calls. So Plunkett was locked in that day, did not complete or nor had to complete many passes, but three of them were touchdowns in this game. And this is one of the most memorable plays in Raider history, as Kenny King, coming out of the backfield, made one of the great touchdown receptions in Raiders history.
Look at all the room on the outside again with Branch. They're double covering him now.
Here comes Plunkett back to throw. A lot of protection. Now he is on the run, and he throws to the left sideline, and it's caught by Branch. He's in midfield. He's gone. He's got it.
They double the outside receiver, which meant a linebacker had to cover King man for man. They got the ball to King, and once he got possession of it, it was a bye-bye Blues, because he went all the way for the touchdown, and he can fly 80 yards to Kenny King. Touchdown, Oakland.
What a great addition Kenny King was, to have one of the greatest touchdowns in the history of that organization. Incredible. As we wrap it up here, too, we go back Plunkett to Cliff Branch. This made it 21-3 in Super Bowl 15.
Plunkett brings him out. Raymond Chester, the tight end, sets up on the right side. He's dangerous down in this territory. Here's Plunkett going to throw.
Play action again.
For a good fake. He throws long into the end zone, and it is.
And the ball was really
underthrown.
And that happens a lot of the times, Jack. When that ball is underthrown, the defensive back is playing the man. Man for man, he doesn't see the ball coming down behind him. And that's exactly what happened on the play. Plunkett has a lot of time to throw the ball, sets up nicely.
Beautiful play there. And Bobby, let's get to the final call, because we have a guest coming up here. Here's the final call as the Raiders win Super Bowl 15.
30 seconds remaining, and they'll not have to snap the ball again. This game is over. 27-10 is the final. The Oakland Raiders, underdog, came here, and just as they defeated Minnesota for a Super Bowl victory in Super Bowl number 11, they also walk away with number 15. Dick Johnson and Brett Musburger are going to bring you the house team color here. Tom Flores. And the Oakland Raiders have won the Super Bowl here today with Jim Plunkett, the most valuable player. That's the end of the game between the Raiders and the Eagles. The final score, Oakland 27, Philadelphia 10.
How cool is that? Super Bowl 15. So as I bring in our friend Kirk Morrison here, we're counting down the greatest games of all time, and we had 15 honorable mentions, and we had 10 games. Sea of Hand, Red Right 88, the AFL Championship game. Now we're in the Super Bowls, and we put that there. Fellow alumni Rod Martin had 3 interceptions in that Super Bowl.
Yeah. Where does Ghost to the Post?
To the Post was in there about 8 or 9.
Okay.
It was a top 10, too.
Yeah.
We put a lot of work into this, and one of the favorite, fun things we've done here, Kirk, is we've gotten the sound from Kirk Gowdy and Don Cricky and some of these names that we're mixing in with Bill King, as you know. So you're out here with SiriusXM NFL Radio as an alumni, but also as a radio host here. What'd you see today? Because it's obvious to quarterbacks, if they're not struggling, they're not playing at an elite level. What'd you see today?
Yeah, I think everybody's focused on the quarterbacks.
Okay.
And rightfully so. That's the biggest storyline coming out of Raiders training camp, to start the camp and obviously going through the camp. To me, having been here now, seeing what's going on, that's not the story to me anymore. It changed. The change is how good this defense is.
Okay,
is an outstanding defense. And today I saw some that I had never seen before. Never seen it before. You saw it, and I was like, I'm snapping my fingers. Like, hey, are you watching this? I saw Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins lined up on the same side on the pass rush. And I said, oh my goodness, you tell me an offensive line is going to be able to block that. They did a twist game inside where Christian Wilkins is your inside penetrator. All of a sudden, here comes Max Crosby looping from his end spot to the inside. Who do you let go? Who do you switch? I mean, what's you're going to create a one-on-one for one of those guys. So that just gives Max Crosby an easier trip to the quarterback. And now he's coming right between the center and the guard. But now you're getting a one-on-one with a tackle who has to go down and help out with the guard. And Christian Wilkins, we've seen him split these double teams.
Right.
Or he gets the one-on-one because the tackle reacts late. They ran that about three times in a row. The Raiders offense didn't have a clue. It's nothing that against the Raiders offense.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I'm seeing defensively. And it's also creating a line now assignment to where the center comes out. They're going to look at to the right side and says, hey, rip call meaning or mm-hmm. go right. So they're going to go to the side of who? They're going to go to the side of Christian Wilkins.
Right.
Max Crosby, guess who gets the one-on-one? Malcolm Kuntz on the backside. Can he consistently beat one-on-one? He's my player of the year right now in terms of what.
Wow.
Not player of the year my player, my focus player of the year. Okay. I want to focus on him because he is going to get a ton of one-on-ones. Can Malcolm Kuntz repeatedly, consistently beat the left tackle over and over and over again? Because he's going to get one-on-ones. Everybody's going to try to put two, sometimes even three guys on Max Crosby. Now you've got to worry about Christian Wilkins on that side. Just a great, I think, scheme front for what Patrick Graham is going to do because teams are going to have to make a decision. They're going to have to make a decision. The attention is going to be on those two guys. That's just what stuck out to me about today's practice because I feel like it's going to be hard for a quarterback in the first week, 2 weeks, to really take hold of this offense and really look better than – both these guys are very similar. I know people say, well, they're different. Yeah, no, they're kind of similar in how they're learning this offense for the first time in pads. It's one thing to do it in the offseason, in OTAs, in shorts. It's full speed. It's now in pads. Things are happening quicker. We saw it today. I just want to see these quarterbacks continue to get reps, but they're getting reps against a defense that's much improved, JT.
Kirk Morrison's here. He's taking us to defensive church right there with what I'm seeing. What
yes,
about
sir.
Tyree? Where do we fit him in? Because he's an edge rusher by Correct. Trade, seventh pick overall. We understand why Max would hold down one side, but Kuntz. So you're not if Kuntz has the year that you and I both expect,
yeah.
Tyree's got to get reps Correct. On the inside.
He's going to go inside. He's going to be
okay.
a big force and utilize his strength, which is his height, his length.
Got it.
And now being able to get some push up the middle.
Sure.
I think he's going to line up on an edge on a guard is where he's going to be best at. And I think his length is going to help him. He's more athletic than a lot of guards. So I think you're going to see some more of him. You're going to get your four best pass rushers out there on the field.
Mm.
I think Tyree can be that. And if he doesn't get there, he has an ability to do what? Get those hands up. Get those paws up. Knock some passes down. Make the quarterback's window just a little bit tighter or make him have to adjust his angle on his launch point. I really was excited what I saw from that defensive front and a secondary that is communicating without speaking.
Right.
They are I'm watching them throughout periods, and they're doing a fantastic job. Shout out to guys who I've former teammate and just good friends, Ricky Manning, cornerbacks coach, and Gerald Alexander was a guy who I played with, and he was a master communicator. And watching him in his individual periods and in just the periods he has with his safeties, first time I'd ever seen this today. First time I've ever seen this today, JT. They had a communication period without talking. They ran plays without talking. So the offense that they had, they ran, offensive looks and things that the players had to make adjustments without talking. Just looks, just hand signals.
Wow.
Like, this is the detail that I'm seeing from this defense. And it's the defense is ahead of the offense. It's okay to say right now the Raiders football team is going to be led by their defense when they go into week one against the Chargers.
Kirk Morrison, as we wrap it up. All right, we get that, and we know the quarterbacks aren't elite. They're not in that level.
Right.
So what can save the Raiders if they have to win offensively? They have Devontae.
Right.
Devontae needs his touches, period.
Correct.
I'm not saying he's going to get as many as he had in his prime with Aaron Rodgers,
yeah.
but he's got Aiden O'Connell there, assuming it's Aiden, and Zamir White, Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer. As I talk with you today on the sideline, as those young tight ends are running crossing routes and Devontae's fading into the corner, that looks good if you have time. But no Colt Miller, no Jackson Powers Johnson here, who's got to get his reps. That's concerning to me.
To me, Dylan Lubi, Alexander Mattison, Zamir White.
Okay.
That's the Raiders' offense. That's the Raiders' offense this year. Because we can talk about the fantasy football guys and Mayer and Bowers and Myers and Devontae Adams. If the Raiders are not running the football effectively, they're not going to be able to get the ball to those guys. I'll just be honest with
you. Yeah, you are honest.
If they're running the ball effectively and pounding and pounding and forcing in their will on the defense, the play-action pass is going to be there. And you give Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, a clean window in play action, they're going to hit Devontae. They're going to hit Jacoby. They've got tight ends now with a bigger catch radius than they've ever had to work with before. So they have outlets. Mm-hmm. It's going to be predicated on how they run the football. Seeing Brock Bowers line up, flexed out, tight end, they're going to create space for the run game. If the running game is effective, man, this offense is going to be electric. I promise you that, because it's going to come from the run game. It has to. Zamir White has to be a dog. Alexander Mattison has to be a dog. These guys are going to – they're going to – I'm just watching it. Because I also, just like you, let's put our defensive coordinator hat on. We're going against the Raiders right now. What don't we want? We don't want Devontae to go off.
Right.
So we're going to play coverage. We're going to force to see, can you run? And that's why the early part of the season, the first two games, this offense has to prove to everybody that we're going to run the football. Against
Set up the run and run it hard those first two games.
You think I'm looking for Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew to throw for 300 yards against the Baltimore Ravens defense?
No.
Let's just be real. Let's just be honest.
You're right.
No. And I can tell you right now, I can raise my hand. I would be shocked if they did. If they did that, let's just start get them fitted for a gold jacket, okay? Right? In week two. But that's not going to happen.
Yep.
To me, that is the most physical game that they're going to play in a style of defense, offense, they're going to have to play against AFC North contender, Super Bowl contender, Baltimore Ravens. That is, to me, the litmus test. I think the Chargers, same thing as well.
That was one of my favorite segments, and I've been talking to you your whole career in the media. You get better and better, man.
I appreciate
that.
That
was really, really important for the Raiders, hearing what you think about this defense. Have a great rest of the trip. We'll see you back here.
Absolutely. I'll see you in a couple weeks, man.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
There he is.
Alumni weekend.
You got it. Alumni weekend. He's always there. Kirk Morrison, kind enough to join us. He's here with NFL Radio. That was absolutely fantastic. So, we touched on the offense. He went heavy defense to tell you what he saw today, which I didn't see today because I was in here. And as he talked about that, that setup with Christian Wilkins and Max on the same side, God, that was good radio. We got a lot to catch up on. I think I went 40 minutes. Yeah, 39 without a break. We'll wrap it up next.
Where do you stand on playing in the preseason?
Yeah, I mean, that's Robert's decision. I've never told him I don't want to play in the preseason. There's a lot of thoughts about whether there's any particular gain from it. We used to play all the time. Now nobody wants to play. They don't want to play their guys. It's different. To combat that, now we're doing all these practices with other teams, so we have three of those. I'm assuming those will be like our super heavy days, and then it'll be like the preseason for us.
It's Aaron Rodgers, where they don't look like they're going to want to play him much in the preseason. He's not happy about it. He's an absolute diva. He's evolved into a diva, and don't tell me he's not. He is. He never was. He was an awkward guy, a weird guy. Now he's a bleeping diva at the end of his career. JT back at Raiders training camp. As we wrap it up, we have the third greatest game of all time. We elected Super Bowl 15, the Raiders wild card Super Bowl team, Raiders 66. Go ahead.
Hey, JT, how you doing today?
Great, buddy. Thanks.
Great. Yeah, the 1980 was a very difficult year for Raider Nation. Early in the year, Al Davis and the Coliseum, came to a parting of the ways on making improvements, and Al said, I'm moving the team. They voted on the owner's meeting that he couldn't do it, but he said he was doing it anyway. Plus, he traded away Stabler, Casper, and Tatum during the course of that year. So it was a very unstable and upsetting year for Raider Nation. But they got off to a tough start, 2-3, as you said, and they were 5-5 basically 10 games in. And then they went on the winning streak. Six straight wins put them in the playoffs, and the rest is history. They went on to become the first wild card team to win the Super Bowl. And in that game, as you documented, Rod Martin had a game for the ages. Three interceptions in a Super Bowl. He arguably and probably should have been the MVP. But a couple of years earlier, in 1977, Rod Martin was a senior at USC. And the Raiders, late in the draft, the 12th round, they basically had run out of players. They didn't have anybody that they liked on their list. So John Madden had his childhood friend, John Robinson, who was the head coach at SC. They called him up and said, "You got anybody that hasn't been drafted that might work out?" And he goes, "Yeah, I got this linebacker that I think might work out for you guys." Well, they drafted Rod Martin, and 3 years later, he paid huge dividends. And that's the way it went. Great thing. I take it the next two or the other Super Bowls. Look forward to hearing those. Have a great weekend, JT. Go Raiders.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate Raiders 66 playing along. I feel like it's just his show. I mean, he reacts to every game we have brilliantly and perfectly. Yeah, we got to choose between Super Bowl 11, Super Bowl 18, and Super Bowl 15. They're all great wins. All great wins. We put that third. We're down to two. And you'll get that next week as we wrap up training camp from Costa Mesa. We thought we timed it perfectly. Perfect timing. As Bobby knew, we had a day off yesterday. Thanks to Harry Ruiz, the Latino voice of the Raiders, who filled in for me yesterday. Hey, I want to make sure here with a few minutes left, I thank our partners. They're everything to us. We don't have a show without advertising. And these aren't advertisers. They're my partners. And they're the reason I'm out here. I want to start with the Black Hole again. There's Black Hole fans all over the world. If you want to be a part of the Black Hole, go to theblackhole.com. The amount of discounts and deals you're going to get for Raider home and away games, all the merchandise, all the gear you want, it's right at theblackhole.com. Boyd Gaming, local, local, locals. Boyd Gaming, proud partner of our show, all of their casinos here in town, Raider-centric. If you're a Raider fan, you know Boyd Gaming, proud partner of our show. We love Modelo. Buck and Modelo's are coming up here in about 6-7 minutes. I don't drink and drive, so I'll wait until I get back to the hotel, the team hotel of the Raiders, thanks to Steve Gomez and his team. Alex and Orlando to Castaverde. We never forget them. If you get into an accident and you're injured, it's the Castaverde Law Group. They are family. They are a family-run based legacy business. The brothers win. The brothers have your back. Call them if you're getting into an accident or injured. 702-222-9999. Tequila Commissario, the Ferrari of tequilas, was on a call with them this week. What they're doing with us is amazing. More and more establishments that you go to ask for Tequila Commissario. When you try this tequila, the Reposado, the Blanco, and especially the Reserve, you pour a little bit of the Reserve over ice, and you won't believe it. It'll be the best tequila you ever had. It's that good. Our friends at PT's, Golden Entertainment, they own the Strat. They fuel the Monologue, and they got a lot of concerts going on at the Laughlin Entertainment Center. If you want to head down to see some great outdoor concerts, the venue is fantastic. Mike and his team at La Casa Cigars, I brought a box of cigars for the owner, Mark Davis, and a box for Max Crosby. How cool is that? You know where I got those cigars? La Casa Cigars, Tivoli Village. Mike's a diehard Raider fan. To our whole team at M Resort, Spa and Casino, we appreciate them coming in. They're the official hotel of the Silver and Black, and they represent us with once a Raider, always a Raider. Remy Martin, team up for excellence. When you think of excellence, it's Remy Martin. The Cointreau, fantastic for your margaritas. You can't have a margarita without Cointreau. Remy Martin, the maker of that. Resorts World, where we're doing a lot with them. Doghouse Saloon, home of Thursday night football now, not Monday. A double dip on Monday with the SiriusXM show with their Thursday night, all the activations, all the concerts, all the great dining at Resorts World. And we want to mention our two newest partners. One's an old friend that's back, and that is Virgin Hotels, the old Hard Rock. And wait till you see what they're doing there. Oh, my God, the renovations, the new vision of Cliff Atkinson and what he's going to do there. Go check out Virgin Hotels. We're going to be doing a lot there. My DNA in Vegas runs through Virgin Hotels and that great property. And last, the newest one, the big boy, Tito's. Tito's Handmade Vodka. We brought Tito's on this week. They start today. You know I love me some Modelo. I love me a Tito's. Tito's Handmade Vodka. What a big company. What a legendary company. And they're with us now. And I'm really proud also with all these partnerships, now that we add Tito's to our family. You name a show that's got more partners than that, not in Vegas, in any market on any local radio show, because they mean everything to me, our partners, including Tommy White in the local 872 and Charles Woodson of Woodson Bourbon Whiskey. That's 19 on a local radio show for 2 hours a day because of Bobby making sure we dot every I and cross every T. I'm out of here. Gone tomorrow. Going to have a great night tonight from Costa Mesa. Q is coming up next. He's got a big show because he's always grinding and working. He's at practice. He's at the podium. And he's here for you on the flagship of the Silver and Black. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.